is where Montana talks. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines, 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, that's a great line. Great line from Paul in Bozeman. I was talking about, the Billings Gazette, the liberal Billings Gazette, and they've got some good folks there, but by and large, mostly just another part of the liberal media mob. But they send this agnostic arts reporter to cover a business story, to cover the Chick-fil-A opening in Billings last week. You know, it's still huge long lines for people wanting to go get the great food of Chick-fil-A, right? And anyway, so they send this agnostic arts reporter to go trash the Chick-fil-A. The guy already had his anti-Christian, bigoted piece written. He knew he was going to tell people how awful the chicken was because he doesn't like the fact that the owners are Christians and don't share his beliefs. So he's a bigot. So he had this headline in the Billings Gazette. I waited in line at Chick-fil-A and all I got was this lousy chicken sandwich. Yeah, sure you did, buddy. You're just saying that because you're a bigot who doesn't like the fact that the owners are Christians. And anyway, and I was talking about how the Billings Gazette has been biting the hand that feeds them. And that's partly why they've, you know, had to sell their building and lay off so many staff over the years. And I also talked about how they would trash Colstrip and the coal-fired power plant. Anyway, great line from Paul in Bozeman. Billings Gazette, don't bite the hand that heats you. Very good line there from Paul in Bozeman. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal now with us. Evelyn, always great to have you on this show. Did you make it to Chick-fil-A yet yourself?
No. I looked at those lines and I thought, you know, I can wait until a day. They aren't that long. But I think those long, long lines totally refutes any reporter's less than positive comments.
Well, yeah, I'll bet, you know, this Billings Gazette reporter was trashing Chick-fil-A, says the chicken's lousy, says the Christians are awful. You know, funny, there's still really long lines. Apparently people don't listen to him.
Apparently not. And apparently Chick-fil-A's, you know, positions and issues in the past has served them well, you know, very differently than what's happened to some other companies who were very woke.
I.e. the Billings Gazette in particular, right? I mean, right. I feel bad because there are some good folks there, and I feel bad for the good folks who've either lost their jobs or continue to see their company struggle because, yeah, unfortunately, the radical leftist politics that seems to dominate the Lee newspapers is not serving them well, not serving them as well as Chick-fil-A seems to be serving their customers.
No, they're not the paper of old. They're just crumbling, I guess is the word for it. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's
I'm surprised they haven't. Speaking of crumbling, I'm surprised they haven't attacked Crumble Cookie yet. But I guess I shouldn't give them ideas. All right, Evelyn Pyburn. Interested in hearing what the latest business news is. She's always got the best updates. Back to business right after this.
Reporting from the Montana Legislature, I'm Eleanor Smith. Families and friends of missing people filled four rows of a hearing room in the Capitol Friday, some wiping away tears as proponents of House Bill 18 testified about searching for their loved ones, some of whom still have not been found. The bill would spend $61,000 of the state's money for a grant program to train search volunteers. After passing the House, it is now in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Democratic Representative Tyson Runningwolf from Browning is the bill's sponsor.
As I stand here today, it's a push from them folks that are missing, because they can't speak for themselves.
The committee heard testimony from 16 proponents of the bill, many of which were members of grassroots search teams, including Rhonda Grant Connolly, a member of the Blackfeet Nation.
I cannot stress enough how this House bill would help our missing Indigenous murdered people.
There were no opponents of the bill.
This legislative update is brought to you by the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters and Newspaper Associations, and the Greater Montana Foundation.
Here's News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots to talk about here with Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Back to business every Monday here kicking off the 7 o'clock hour. Yeah, this was interesting. Evelyn, you were telling me in the hot seat this morning, apparently there's a some analysis looking at all of the roads in Montana and some of the roads in the bigger towns as well, and some of the improvements that need to be made on that front. What stood out to you?
Well, the analysis was done by an organization called TRIP. They said that 13% of the pavement on major roads in Montana is in poor condition, and 17% is in mediocre condition. And the worst of the roads are in Billings, which has 32% of roads in, I don't know if it's just poor condition or mediocre condition, but Great Falls had 31% and Missoula at 29%. And they point out that poor roads increase the cost for drivers and vehicle maintenance by about $526 a year, and so which amounts to $427 million overall. So, and then they also mentioned that simply repaving roads isn't enough anymore because the subsurface, the foundation of them is, after so many years, is starting to crumble and age, which imposes much higher costs in trying to refurbish the roads.
Interesting. So, well, I know with the new technology that's out now, you know, if they're able to go in and refurbish it, they are able to, you know, vastly improve the actual conditions of those roads, because now everything is so scientific and the technology is so spot on compared to, you know, decades ago when maybe a lot of these roads were initially put in. I wonder, you know, one of my big gripes with the roads is why is it that every manhole cover, it feels like a pothole, and they're always right where your tires go, and so you're like trying to swerve around these things. You probably look like a drunk driver because you're just like clunk, 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 and it's like, it's got to be a challenge with all. It's like all of these manholes are in the worst place ever, and they're everywhere along some of the main roads.
Yep, that's for sure. I hear some out in Lockwood when they're discussing, you know, where they put in the sewer and stuff and the settling of the roads, and that's always a big issue is as the dirt settles all around these manholes that they you know, crop up pretty high, make good bumps.
Or too low in some places in the city. Yeah, very interesting. On the economy, I know another story you've got in the hot seat here this morning is an NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, representing small business owners across the country. You've got a jobs report that they're sharing. I saw a story. We've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now. Pat Barkey, Dr. Barkey from the UMBBER, says that more difficult economic times are ahead for Montana. What does this NFIB jobs report say?
Well, it's kind of a mix, but they have a switch on what their recent months have been reporting. And then NFIB said that 17% of the respondents to their survey said that they plan on adding new jobs over the next 3 months. And that's still a positive indicator. But at the same time, their optimism, the business owners' optimism, has declined 2.1 points in December to 89.8, and which is a 12th consecutive month below the 49-year historical level of 98 points for optimism. So it's kind of a mixed bag there, but that nationally, or all the stuff I read all over the country, there's just real pessimism about going into a recession, and they're not saying anymore that it's transitory or anything like that. And so I think that we better hang on to our hats going forward.
Well, and
it'll be interesting to see what Dr. Barkey says.
Yeah, because in fact they'll be traveling the state here. I think is it this week or next? I know you're typically tracking when they're doing their. Yeah, they're doing the economic forum. Okay, so yeah, so here coming up very soon. It was interesting. I went back and looked at the story by Peter Christian on our Montana Talks website right now. And basically, you know, Barkey was referring to kind of the question marks about the economy at the national level. And one thing he specifically pointed to was, okay, well, what looked like a good money wage year for Montana workers ended up being one of the weakest years on record because in terms of spending power, inflation is what cut into it. So actually, it looked like we had a great year from a wage standpoint, but because inflation is so bad, it cut into Montanans' wages, which to me is all the more reason for our legislature to give us some of our money back this session.
Totally, yeah. I don't think that there's any denying that inflation is really, really having an impact. And Last week, if you remember, I mentioned, though, that this recession is looking like it's going to be different in that it will impact the rich more so than the poor or working class because there's such a high demand for labor that people will probably be able to keep their jobs, and the people who are losing money are those invested in the stock market and...
That was a very interesting report that you shared last week for sure. Okay, stand by. More with Evelyn Pyburn right after this. Red tape relief and more.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mostly considerable cloud cover across the area for today with some chances for light snow showers developing late in the afternoon, especially towards the Bozeman area. High temperatures will range from the upper 20s in Bozeman to around 40 in Billings. For tonight, with cloudy skies and a few flurries and snow showers around the region, any accumulation stays less than an inch as temperatures will bottom out right around 12 in the Bozeman area to the upper 20s in Billings. For Tuesday's outlook, we'll see partly sunny to mostly cloudy skies and high temperature readings in the upper 20s in Bozeman, lower 40s in Billings. Tuesday night, chance for some scattered light snow showers or flurries, any accumulation at an inch or less with lows from the mid-teens in the Bozeman area on Tuesday night, and still looking at some lows near 30 in Billings. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Well, tomorrow on January 24th, the Montana Ag Tech Innovation and Investment Summit will take place in Great Falls at the airport. Yes, there's an outstanding convention meeting space there at the airport. And the Montana Ag Tech Innovation Investment Summit will focus on bringing cutting-edge technology and innovation to the forefront of Montana's agricultural economy. If you're an entrepreneur with a great idea or looking to invest in or partner with an ag tech innovation, this could be the event for you. There are a few tickets available to attend. I will be emceeing the event in Great Falls tomorrow and look forward to seeing the folks that are attending, and I'll have a full recap of the event here later this week. Today's program is brought to you by the Montana Farmers Union. For more on how to join, visit Montana Farmers Union online. Well, the January cattle on feed inventories were reported 3% below a year ago, just under 11.7 million head. While marketings in feedlots during the month of December were down 6%. And the placement activity came in around 1.8 million head, which is 8% below a year ago and the smallest for the month since 2018. Despite a marketing pace at the low end of the five-year range, smaller placements still allowed on-feed inventories to decline from a year ago. I'm Lee Northmont.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, we were talking. We started our chat with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal here this morning talking about a report looking at some of the major roads in Montana, especially some inside town, you know, or in the cities, if you want to refer to places like Billings and Missoula as cities. And we were talking about, you know, the manholes and ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. And it's like they're always in the wrong spot. It feels like potholes every time you hit them when you drive drive some of these roads. But anyway, I think it was Sean in Shelby sent us a message on our Montana Talks app. You should add to the bad road conditions that electric vehicles pay $0 towards fixing them, especially when you talk about our highway gas tax dollars. That's for sure. So to Sean and Shelby, thanks so much for sending us that message. Great point. In fact, Evelyn, I think the legislature is looking, I think some lawmakers are looking at how they can get some money out of electric vehicle owners to help, fix some of our roads. I think they're looking at maybe doing some fees when it comes to annual registration, since it's a little hard to account for the electricity like we account for the gas. So that'll be interesting to watch. You've got a report, I think it's in the hot sheet this morning as well, about the red tape relief efforts that are going through the legislature right now.
No, this was not in the hot sheet, but I think one of the greatest things our governor is doing is trying to untangle Montana's red tape that is way, way past due. As an economic inhibitor, I believe Montana's regulations on people's livelihoods and the way they make a living is far more onerous than taxes. Partly because I don't think most people realize the impact that it can have and is having. But there's an article in KHN, which is a publication for the Kaiser Foundation, which serves the medical community. Gina Eisenhart spent nearly 6 years as a licensed therapist in Colorado, and then she came to Montana to work for Schodare Hospital in Helena. And because of, she'd heard about the healthcare worker shortage in Montana. But the state of Montana refused to issue her a license to practice because her master's degree of 6 years before, it required only 48 credits to complete instead of the 60 Montana wants. So Eisenhart is spending $7,000 to get the additional 12 credits and the time that it takes and to keep her job or continue to work in Montana. And she points out that this is something most people wouldn't do just to work here. That's probably very true. But this is just an example of the problems that professionals can have in obtaining a license to practice and to have a livelihood in Montana. And Montana is one of the most licensed crazy states in the nation for all kinds of professions and occupations. And here we are trying to get our youth to return to the state.
We've got about 1,000 teacher shortage, and yet they make it harder to get teacher licenses. And in the meanwhile, they're importing teachers from the Philippines and other foreign countries, right? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I've even seen where military families, say a soldier has to move to Butte, Montana, for example, for the military. And then his wife's a school teacher, fully qualified. Oh, well, they don't want to recognize her license. And so the bureaucrats in the education system will try to block her from her license transferring over. And it's just a shame, especially when it comes to, a military spouse who's been sacrificing for this country. There's a big school choice rally on the steps of the Capitol this Friday that Jeff Laszloffy from the Montana Family Foundation was talking about. On that front, you have a report about how the COVID policies and the woke curriculum has really been impacting school attendance in the public schools.
Yes. This is a report from Epic Times, and they said that the annual growth, that the schools grew their enrollment at 3% an average before COVID. In 2020, the U.S. public schools dropped in enrollment by 1.4 million, at least it may have been as much as 2 million, to a 10-year low of 49.4 million students. And this is happening all over the country with some major declines in cities like New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. But at the same time, enrollment has increased in public charter schools, like from 5 to 7.2% enrollment in private schools rose from 8 to 9.7%, and homeschooling increased from 6 to 6.6%.
Mm, yeah, very, very interesting. So school choice is on the rise as a pushback to all this woke curriculum being pushed in public schools. All right. Evelyn Pyburn, a great report as always for the Big Sky Business Journal. Thanks so much for your time this Monday and every Monday. Quick Fox News update here, and then we can sneak in a phone call if you got something you want to share real quick. 294-0970.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Justice Department may expand a search for classified documents after more were found at President Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware.
Others were found at the Penn Biden Center in Washington. The most recent set of documents date back to the president's time in the Senate. The DOJ has not requested a search warrant for any of Biden's properties, as his personal attorneys have said they offered to provide prompt access to his home.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. The IRS is accepting 2022 tax returns starting today.
The agency says more than 168 million individual tax returns are expected to be filed this year. The due date is April 18th instead of April 15th because of the weekend and the District of Columbia's Emancipation Day holiday, which falls on Monday, April 17th.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Arizona House Democrat Ruben Gallego announces he's running for Senate, the seat held by former Democrat, now independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema. America's listening to Fox News.
You know, we were talking about some of the bumpy roads across Montana, and then a listener in Shelby, Montana, up on the High Line said, hey, don't forget, these electric vehicles, you know, they don't pay gas taxes, and those gas tax dollars go back into repairing our roads. So these electric vehicles aren't repairing our roads. That got me thinking. That got me also thinking, remember before Christmas how cold it got when it was like 40, 50, 60 below in parts of Montana? I had heard that there were reports that some of these electric vehicle charging stations in cold temperatures like that weren't even working. I'd heard that in other parts of the country, but I'd never seen it. Like, I guess I didn't see a good report that actually documented it, if it was reported anywhere. Well, we'll see if Jeff Manasso has the answer for us from Fox News Radio here in just a few minutes, because he's going to give us a report. Electric vehicles. How much range do electric vehicles lose in the cold? How much range do they lose? How much, you know, so like if you're trying to drive from Billings to Missoula, what is it, 370 miles? Okay, how much range, how much of that will you lose? 50 miles? Will you lose 70 miles because of the severe cold? We'll find out, hopefully hear from Jeff Manasso in just a couple of minutes. We were talking about the school choice rally coming up this Friday at the state capitol in Helena. In the 6 o'clock hour, Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation had a legislative update for us, but my audio player kind of froze up on me, and it's not even 40 below. Anyway, my audio player froze up on me. He was describing the school choice rally this Friday. Here's the rest of the report.
Legislators not only see the rally, they also participate in large numbers. And we're asking the public to turn out as well. We've made huge gains in educational choice in the past few years, and it's important to keep that momentum going. Despite wins in the Montana District Courts and the U.S. Supreme Court, there are still those who believe in a one-size-fits-all education system. In their eyes, public schools should be the only option, and there would be no place for private schools or homeschooling. The threats are real. Last week, Friday, we testified against House Bill 23, a bill that would reduce the tax credit that funds scholarships to private schools from $200,000 down to just $2,000, a 90% reduction. The guiding premise of school choice is that every child is unique and every child and their parents should be able to go out into an educational marketplace filled with a broad array of options and choose an option that best fits that child's unique learning style and personality. We need as many people and schools as possible to attend the rally, and we'll even provide transportation and a free lunch. Once again, the rally is this Friday, January 27th at noon on the Capitol steps. For more information, call 628-1141. That's 628-1141. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for that report. I would just add that school choice also helps public school kids because it puts the pressure on to stop this woke.com.
This is Where Montana Talks. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines, 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, if you are already on the phone lines, please stand by. We do want to hear from you. We will get to you here in just a few minutes. Especially great to hear your phone calls. You know, we had such a great time at the Big Shot Show in Las Vegas over the last three show days. But great to be back here with you in studio and taking your phone calls here this Monday. Plenty of time to take your calls in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours today as well. But yeah, we'll get to you here in just a few minutes. First up, though, we do have Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio now with us here. He's looking at the numbers. So just how much range do electric vehicles lose in the cold? That's a big question a lot of us here in Montana have for obvious reasons. Jeff, thanks for being back with us.
Hey, Aaron, always good to be with you. So all electric vehicles driving ranges, they shrink in cold weather, and, you know, meaning even more range anxiety or the fear that EVs will run out of power on the road and leaving drivers stranded, and also a reduction of performance. Some EVs can lose up to 35% of their range in freezing conditions based on the latest reports. The effect of cold weather, though, varies widely from vehicle to vehicle. And there's an online battery health reporting company called Recurrent that collected data from EV owners and onboard vehicle systems to estimate how much of a range is lost between 70 degrees and freezing. And of the 13 EV vehicles studied, the worst performer was the Chevy Bolt with a 32% drop in range, the Ford Mustang Mach-E premium all-wheel drive with extended range battery, and the VW ID.4, both with a 30% drop in range in cold weather. The Tesla 3, Y, S, and X all lost a range of between 15 and 19%, though the Jaguar I-Pace performed the best, losing just 3% of its range in cold weather. The Audi e-tron Premium Plus also second with an 8% drop, though the company noted that both these models benefited from using a heat pump for their climate control systems, which redistributes heat being generated by the powertrain. So I guess that's the good news. There is technology that can make it better for these EVs to retain much of their range and their performance, though it's likely going to cost us.
Yeah, and I would say, in a slight defense of the electric vehicle market, you know, the technology is constantly improving and more improvements will come. But it seems like, too, one thing that a lot of people don't realize with these electric vehicles is that, okay, you might be able to find what you think is a more affordable option, but in reality, okay, cheaper battery means longer to charge. Cheaper battery or cheaper option also may mean less durable, less reliable, you name it. And that might be fine if you're just driving to and from work in Miami, Florida, not necessarily if you're driving in the harsh, severe cold winters in Montana and you really need something that's reliable and a little durable.
Yeah, I mean, EVs don't seem to be as practical in cold weather climates as they are, say, down in Florida or Southern California. And it's going to be interesting to see how consumers react over the next 10, 15 years when many in the auto industry are vowing to go all electric. Although you have the head of Toyota recently saying that this isn't going to work. He came out and said this isn't going to work, people. This whole switch over to electric is not a viable option. And so that's really interesting to hear somebody in the auto industry say that, particularly the head of Toyota. But, we shall see. I mean, we're going to learn together whether this was a big mistake or whether or not this was a genius thing to do. But, you know, on the consumer side, you know, EVs really, we've sold many more in this last year than we ever have in terms of people in America buying electric cars, but we're just not there yet. Only about 2% of the footprint of new vehicles sold. We're nowhere near countries like the UK or China, where they're buying up a lot of these EVs. You know, consumers just aren't there yet here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, it leads to more criticism from us here in Montana. Is that, hey, we're paying more. We're basically subsidizing, you know, wealthier people in Southern California and sunny South Florida to purchase electric vehicles. And we're funding our own demise here to a certain extent. And was there anything on the charging stations themselves? I know, you know, when it was 40, 50, 60 below in Montana, I was seeing stuff on social media suggesting that the charging stations themselves failed in some of these very cold temperatures. But I'm always skeptical of what I just see online. Did you see anything official in this report or others?
I haven't, so I can't comment on that. But, you know, the infrastructure in terms of charging really has been a problem. And it's another thing that's led to this so-called range anxiety. You know, where are we going to charge these things? You know, of the hundreds of millions of people who live in apartments or areas where you can't, where there's nowhere to charge, or where you have to park your vehicle outside. I mean, how are those folks gonna be able to deal with charging their vehicles? I mean, there's a lot of metropolitan areas that are trying to come up with ways to beat back the critics on that and say, you know, to be able to charge vehicles in urban areas. But the Biden administration, as we've reported, is spending a lot of money on infrastructure. California's spending a lot of money on infrastructure, billions over the next few years, to add more charging stations and the ability to charge these things. But, you know, remember, charging isn't, you know, it may be free in some areas and some locations now, but it's not going to be. I mean, they're teaming up, the federal government's teaming up with private enterprises, private companies, to be able to add these chargers all over the country. And, you know, I mean, private businesses are getting involved. You know, there's going to be a charge at some point in terms of money to be able to do these things. And critics say that it could cost more than even filling up our cars with gasoline at this point amid high prices. So yeah, a lot of unknowns right now.
Driving inflation, too, the government spending, yeah, everything. Yeah, Jeff Manasso, always appreciate your reporting. Thanks so much for your time.
You bet.
All right. Yeah, great insight as always. In fact, when I was sidekicking with John Jackson down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, you know, one of the Fox News reports came on and he said that Jeff Manasso, he's one of the best there with Fox News Radio. I always enjoy it when Jeff Manasso comes on. And I said, oh, yeah, he is. He is one of the best ones they got there. That's for sure. Okay, 294-0970, the number for you. You got something you want to talk about. Looks like Gary in Billings wants to talk about the roads. You know, from our earlier conversation. Gary, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for me being able to add something about the road conditions. Many people don't know the history of Billings. Way back, Colson City was down about 20-some miles, and Billings was just a little railroad stop. Nobody thought anything that it would ever be like it is. It was a lot of mining, really a rough place, but as it began to fade out, Billings began to grow. Now, I was involved in Billings street programs for 26 years. When I started work for the city in 1965, the city limits were right at Senior High. And again, you look at the growth of what's taking place now.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
And the public work director was involved at Blackton Beach to put in water lines, which were cast iron. And through the years of the frost, freezing, and thawing, they began to break, and there was a lot of water line breaks. Now, the city does not get a lot of money for road construction. And like I say, if people think about back then, we were known as Pothole City. There's been a lot of improvements made through
since that point.
Yeah.
So they need. So the city, with all the extra money they're bringing in, with all these extra taxpayers, needs to dedicate more of the budget to roads. Then is what you're saying there?
No, not necessarily. Because all money goes to Helena and school district. And get 70-some% of the pie. The actual money that we get from the property taxes doled out to hell now. So you look at what happened back in those days, and like you say, we've made a lot of improvements from the water department and all new plastic mines. But even in the Heights, there was no regulation, no permits. It just grew.
It's interesting. Yeah, and there's been so much growth. I mean, heck, I remember, you know, we were out waving signs in the 2000 election, in the big 2000 Senate race and governor's race and everything back then. And we were on the edge of town, it felt like, at 24th and Central. It felt like we were on the edge of the West End, right? And, yeah, you can see how the West End is now, can't you? All right, Gary, great to hear from you. Elena in Phillipsburg, you're up right after this.
News commentary.
House Republicans vow to protect Mount Rushmore from wokesters, and as a born and raised South Dakotan, this is music to my ears. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Activists have been trying their damnedest to get rid of Mount Rushmore, claiming it's a symbol of patriarchy, white supremacy, and whatever else they're offended by this week. Well, House Republicans are saying too bad. Our lone South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson introduced a bill to protect our monument. The bill prohibits federal funds from being used to change, destroy, or rename Mount Rushmore. I'm from South Dakota. In fact, I grew up and my parents still live just miles from the monument. It's not only one of the only visible accolades our state is known for, it's a proud national symbol that honors our forefathers and our nation's history. The fact the woke crowd has been successful tearing down other statues, memorials, and relics of history is disgraceful. If a rock offends you so badly, you really need to reassess your triggers. Mount Rushmore ain't going anywhere, crybabies. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
800-826-9895. If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970 on our Parsec data management phone lines. In fact, I just got a message from Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle. He said, hey, we're working on a proposal to get some more money back in the pockets of Montanans. Can I call into the show and talk about it? Well, of course, phone lines are open. We got a guest at 8:40, but other than that, we're keeping the phone lines open for the rest of the morning here. So if you're a lawmaker in Helena, you can call in, or if you're a constituent in Phillipsburg, you can call in. Elena, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. I have to laugh at Travis. He comes on to check to see if we're still holding in, okay. I really appreciate that, especially at my age.
He's the nicest guy ever. It's like, it doesn't matter how crazy this show's going, there's 55 people calling in, and he's still the nicest, most polite guy you'll ever find. You
know? With a sense of humor.
That's true.
Which brings me to the reason I called. The Missoulian, the drive-by media, just one of them, had an article about alternative sources of media.
Yeah.
And you guys were mentioned.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. And then, if I may I read that one paragraph?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, Scott Richman is the Missoula Market president of Town Square Media, the broadcasting company behind prominent Montana voices like KGVO's Pete Christian and Flint. Maybe he didn't know your name.
Well, I think he mentioned my full name earlier, but I would say Peter Christian is a much more prominent voice, at least a better voice than mine. He's like the voice of the Grizzlies. You know, whenever they say, good for another first down, it's much better when Peter Christian says it. But
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got a radio voice.
He does. I don't. I don't even have a face for radio. But
then it
goes on to say Town Square owns 35 radio stations spread across Missoula, Great Falls, Shelby, Butte, Bozeman, and Billings. And
wow, is it 35 says, now? Huh.
The Montana media market remains competitive, and Town Square sets itself apart with hyper-local coverage. That I don't really agree with.
How come?
Because I think most of your news comes from other sources. The drive-by media, Fox, CBS, NBC. I mean, they're all stories that they report.
Yeah, but we also have local news as well, and we have Elena in Phillipsburg calling right now. I mean, if you're living in Phillipsburg, it doesn't get any more local than Elena in Phillipsburg being able to call into the show.
Oh, pray that I only have, more. I sit here from 4 o'clock in the morning when my cat wakes me up, and I do research, and I come up with some pretty interesting stuff.
So why not start coming up, cutting your own local news and offering it up or something? What do you want? If you don't want Fox News, if you don't want local news reports, if you don't want call-ins, what do you want to be more local than that? I guess I'm having a hard time following.
As I mentioned to you, I did have my own online talk radio show.
Cool.
And one of the things that I always said is I'm interested in hearing from your neck of the woods. And every person who called would come in and give me a news report. So a little hometown like Drummond, what's going on there, what's going on in Granite County is really going to be eye-opener.
That's great. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's kind of like what we're doing right now as well. Like we just got a report from you. We heard from Gary and Billings, but we're also mixing in some of the national news on top of it. Yeah. I think the challenge is How do we keep it alive? How do we keep it going? I wish there were more conservative bloggers, right?
If I can say something, and not to be critical or disrespectful, if I may.
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. When I had the talk show, number one, I would talk and talk and talk until a caller came on. And then that person took top priority.
Okay.
And because I'd rather hear... I like hearing from the senators, the representatives, yada, 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 but I'd rather hear the people.
Sure. Okay. But at some point, though, even you run out of time. You can be doing a podcast for 24 hours if you want to, but at some point you're going to run out of time, or at some point people are going to stop listening, right? So it's kind of like when Ken in Great Falls calls in. Okay, I guess I should just let Ken in Great Falls talk for 2 hours, and then we'll never hear from Jerry in Circle or Elena in Phillipsburg or Gary in Billings or Linda in Churchill. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like at some point, you got to cut people off. It's the nature of life. In fact, in about 4 seconds, I'm going to get cut off as well for our national news update.